Welcome to this week's edition of World Crisis Radio. This is Webster Tarpley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. We're recording the show here on the afternoon of Friday, February 26th, 2016. It is a fateful day, a day to mark in your calendar, because today we have, if all goes well, right, Deo Volente, if God wills, we will have the ceasefire in Syria, and perhaps even better than a ceasefire, we may actually have a cessation of hostilities going on in Syria. Now, we hope to get a detailed report from Damascus in the second hour, but the current situation is that, according to Russian President Putin, all the countries which had been expected to join the ceasefire, to sign on to the ceasefire, have done so. So it's not just, you know, Russia and the U.S. who made this joint declaration, joint démarche, but also all the others, starting with the Syrian government, right? They were very quick and took the lead in accepting the provisions of the ceasefire. So the idea is that all had to be reported by 5 o'clock in the morning today. That would be noon Damascus time. And as we're now going towards midnight Damascus time, in other words, it's right now, it's quarter after three Eastern Standard, right, New York time, we're looking for the ceasefire to actually go into effect at midnight Damascus time. So that's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon here in the eastern U.S. So we're going to hope, we hope to go to Syria within about an hour, and 45 minutes from now, so that we'll be in the last hour before the ceasefire goes into effect. We will be hopefully getting that report so we can get the exact situation. So the last holdouts on this stuff are, of course, the terrorist rebels, but the modern terrorist rebels, that is to say the moderate terrorist rebels sponsored by Saudi Arabia, and this includes the self-styled Free Syrian Army and other armed opposition groups. This is something called, in the great art of euphemisms, the High Negotiations Committee, or High Negotiating Committee. And they put out a statement saying, the High Negotiating Committee, HNC, confirms the agreement of the Free Syrian Army factions and the armed opposition to a temporary truce starting midnight Saturday. Now, I think they mean midnight between Friday and Saturday. This coming to you from Reuters. But they already say that they're prepared to break out. Pardon me. They're prepared to break out of the ceasefire. They say that the Syrian government, President Assad, must not use the proposed text to continue the hostile operations against the opposition factions under the excuse of fighting terrorism. And the HNC, High Negotiating Committee, says that more than 100 armed groups have joined into the truce agreement, and it will circulate a list. This should be going on right now, certainly, later on Friday. Well, it's already pretty late on Friday over there. It's practically midnight. Friday is practically over. So they have this list, right? They've got a little list. They've got a little list. Now, obviously, ISIS is excluded. ISIS will be continued, will continue to be bombed. And we hope sincerely that ISIS will get clobbered in the appropriate way. And the same goes for Nusra brigades. In other words, the Al-Qaeda branch. So these bloody terrorists are excluded, but there are all kinds of possibilities for sabotage, right? There's a huge Saudi interest in sabotaging this because it leaves them cut out of all the action. There's an interest of Jeffrey Feltman and his gang at the UN to try to sabotage it. This would be the Hillary Clinton campaign, practically. The Hillary Clinton campaign, which might want to have a war going on, a wider war than we have already, going on in September, October, on the verge of the U.S. election. Maybe she thinks that's the proper decor for her to come out with her screeching warmonger rhetoric. The General Davis, David Petraeus group and his backers in Wall Street, the people at Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts, maybe they don't like it. You listen to the U.S. media, you get a decided note of skepticism, hostility, passive-aggressive. They don't like this deal. They don't like the fact that Russia is a part of it. It's foolish. It's a very good idea to have Russia involved in this. And as a matter of fact, we take another opportunity to thank President Putin and the Russian Federation for taking their lead in this. So they have certainly emeritized quite a few terrorists in the course of these, 5 months? It's essentially October, November, December, January, February, 5 months of Russian bombing of the so-called moderate terrorists. Try to remove them, obviously, as an element on the chessboard. And now we have this hope for peace. So the Tax Wall Street Party, through our chairwoman, Daniela Walls, put out a statement. I'll probably read this to you later on in the show, essentially where she warmly welcomed the coming of this truce and also pointed out that in addition to the obvious benefits for Syria, this is a case study. The U.S.-Russian condominium. This is what the world needs. All of these insoluble, intractable, thorny problems, all of these Gordian knots. Together, Russia and the United States can essentially begin to solve them. There are warmonger cliques in Israel who don't like this precedent, right? There may be people in, what do we know, Kashmir, India, Pakistan, who may not like the idea of solving that problem there. There are issues still left over in the Balkans and things of this sort that could be solved, because the international community has an overriding self-interest in the peaceful solution of these problems. And we simply cannot allow tiny, turbulent groups with lunatic ideological agendas to impose their will on the rest of the world. We do not want any further hostilities, any additional hostilities joined into this world. We got enough, so we want to start removing these things. So these are important elements. Now, I would personally certainly regret the timing of this test of two intercontinental ballistic missiles over the Pacific by the United States. These are things that have gone on. Many powers have done testing. It's a continuous process. So we're not going to start screaming bloody murder. But at the same time, why now? Why not cool it for a while? We know that there is a Russian request under the Open Skies program to have a Russian observation plane fly over the United States. These are provisions of a treaty. The U.S. has signed the treaty. The U.S. has used... has taken advantage of this procedure in the past. So I would say, why don't we return to the world of confidence-building measures, not designed to irritate, but designed to calm, to placate, to cool. It is the time of confidence-building measures. And we'll be back here in just a minute on World Crisis Radio. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Let's start the reporting from Washington, D.C., the afternoon of Friday, the 26th of February. Now, we have a problem in the Danubian volcanic area. And, of course, this is yet another aspect of the refugee crisis. And you'll remember as of last November 1st, I had appeared in Friedberg, in Germany and propounded the idea that the solution to the refugee crisis, according to cognition, according to causes, right, cognitio per causas, to get to the bottom of why and treat that, required the European countries to think on a broader and more ambitious, a bolder historical scale. They needed to assert themselves in a constructive way. And this involved the closing, the blocking, the cutting, the interdiction of that infamous Jarablus corridor, that stretch of 100 kilometers that starts at the Euphrates, starts with the town of Jarablus and goes over to Ephren or Afrin. And the question of Azaz, right, which we've heard about in the last couple of weeks, that's subsumed. That's a part of it. So the idea was to Germany, you want to be a leader of Europe? Great. Be a leader of Europe. Merkel, come forward. Your current policy is not working. What you need to do is close the Jarablus corridor. And I mentioned that I had heard that there had been German rearmament during the 1950s, that there had been created a Bundeswehr, a German armed force, right? A Bundesmarine, a navy, the Luftwaffe, an air force, and that Germany on its own, on her own, in the older way of speaking, would be able to close and interdict this corridor. Obviously, there would be hell to pay with the Turkish government, but when you're talking about fundamental, paramount national interests, you've got to assert yourself. Now, this was not done. It could have been done by Russia, could have been done by the United States, could have been done by others. And certainly, it would have been good to see the European Union arise from its dogmatic slumbers and go forward and close the Jarablus corridor. The Jarablus corridor is the way that terrorism, war, munitions, gasoline, spare parts, kamikaze fanatics get into northern Syria, where they engage in their fighting. So this has been left open. I called repeatedly on the United States, also on the Russian Federation, who so far have made some moves in that direction, but they haven't done it. Both sides have actually pinched it a little bit, but pinching is not good enough. And it involves a strong commitment to the Kurds. And if the Kurds come out of this with a national state, well, that is, I think, at least it's a legitimate proposition at this point. So what am I doing? I'm trying to talk about the prelude to this diplomatic crisis, which has happened. In other words, there is this eastern route to go from the western, I guess they call it the Western Balkans route. To some of us, it looks pretty far east. So the so-called Western Balkans route, and it involves refugee flows by land that simply go through these different countries. And, of course, it causes the social upheaval. This is not a matter of racism, right? First of all, these people really don't want to be refugees, right? They're being forced out. They're displaced persons, DPs in the post-war UNRWA, right, vocabulary. So they're forced to do this against their will. They don't want to do it. It's a hell of a thing to do, right, for children, women, old people, sick. It's not good. In other words, it's not like there's a human right to be a refugee. You don't want to be one. But, of course, then once you've arrived somewhere, you do have, I say, an inalienable human right to the essential means of preserving your life, staying alive, and protecting the entire world collectivity from needless epidemics, pandemics, and so forth. So these refugees have been on the move, and of course they generally, because of the cynicism of Erdogan, Erdogan has generally not allowed a land route from Turkey into Greece on the European side of the Bosporus, right? He doesn't want that. Erdogan has always wanted this terrible drama, this tragic, heart-wrenching story of the little boy washed up on the beach. That's because Erdogan wanted it that way. He wanted to generate publicity of that type, right, to build up his own importance. So there is this flow, and it overwhelms the structures, even in the fairly, I wouldn't say prosperous, but not as bad as the others, Germany, right, after all these years of depression. The structures are simply overwhelmed. So what do you do? In this case, the group met in Vienna, and of course, we have a special warm spot for Vienna, where I think quite a significant part of the audience of this program can be found, right? So the Wiener Gemütlichkeit is a wonderful thing, and it's unforgettable, and one can't wait to return. But the problem that they're all facing, everybody's facing, is that if you do not close the Jarablus corridor, there are no good solutions. You have condemned yourself to this kind of fratricide, quite frankly, among the European states. So in Vienna, we had a meeting of the West Balkans countries, and this was a reassertion, in some ways, of the role of Austria as it had been during the time of the Austro-Hungarian dual monarchy, let's say, up until the end of World War I. So all of those countries were there, but Greece was not invited. Well, because the logic of the proposal on the table in Vienna was to say, we're going to close all the borders along the northern edge of Greece, and then we're going to keep these refugees back in Greece, and then maybe they'll turn around or something. So it meant that a large number of European Union member states were not invited, and then it meant that some that are not members of the European Union were invited. So, in quite a number, and Germany apparently was not invited. So there's a lot of acrimony and a lot of mistrust. And since we're talking confidence-building measures, we'll discuss those in the next segment. Welcome back to What the World Crisis Radio. Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C. So, as it happened, under the pressure of this impossible, unsustainable situation, impossible for everybody, Austria sponsored this meeting in Vienna, the West Balkans route, as they call it, and certain countries were involved and certain countries were not. Germany is apparently resentful against Werner Faymann, the Austrian